Today on Real Radio.
And it says that Naomi had a kinsman, a relative of her husband's, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. The name Boaz means a strong and mighty one, or one who has great strength. Isn't that funny? Because in chapter 3, we're going to find out that Ruth was married to Mahlon, who died, remember, a couple Sundays ago? Well, his name meant wimpy or weak. So here she's going to meet up next week with this man called Boaz. And by the way, the Jews believe that he is somewhere 20 to 30 years older than she is. Boaz, strong one, influential. He's got money, he's got power, he's got the world, so to speak, by its tail, but he also was known for a man of great integrity, and he loved God. And you'll find out as we go through this study that he was a man who knew the Bible. And he's single.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his new series through the Old Testament account of Ruth. We're looking at the first three verses of chapter 2. Unlike other parts of Scripture, Ruth is not a letter or collection of prayers or adages. It is an historical narrative and offers much in the area of the Almighty's divine plan. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Kind of Faith We Need to Have.
God is in heaven, we're on earth. He's king, and we are subjects to his kingdom. Some within his kingdom bow the knee and say, Jesus, you're Lord. Others within the kingdom say, I'll do it my way. I need no God. I'll take care of life myself. And that's a very, very tragic thing. And those people come to a horrible end in life. What's worse than the end that they experience in life is their eternity that they have without Christ. No, Ruth is going to teach us this morning that we need to have faith like she does. And it's funny, you might want to take a highlighter or a pencil or something and note this. The only thing that we know for sure if we were Ruth or Naomi right now is this. Look at the middle of verse 2. It says, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor, close quote. That's Ruth's comment. And look at the other one at the end of verse 2. Go, my daughter, close quote. That's Naomi's response. That's all they know. Verses 1 and 3 and some of verse 2 is simply a narrative for us who are the reader. If you were to transport yourself back right now to Ruth and Naomi, you know this. You have been in town, you've been in Bethlehem for a few days at most. You've come from Moab, and you've been received by the ladies of the community. And there's a lot of talk now going on around town that you've come back home. And with you, you've brought your daughter-in-law, a widow, as you are, whose name is Ruth. She's beautiful, she's 18 to 25 years of age, she's a Gentile, but you are living now in Bethlehem barely. You have no food, you're poverty-stricken, you're trusting in God, but you don't know how you're going to meet the ends and the demands of the home itself. So this is all we know. Something must have happened from the moment Ruth was converted last week to this week, because she is trusting in the Bible. How do you know that, Jack? Because it says here, look with me. It says in verse 2, so Ruth the Moabite has said to Naomi, quote, please let me go into the field and glean heads of grain after him whose sight I may found favor, close quote. What is that all about? Well, she got that right out of the Old Testament, out of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It says in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and that's all they had back then, is the five books of the Bible. They might have had the book of Job, which is the oldest book in the world. Somehow, Ruth reads in her Bible that a a person, says Leviticus and Deuteronomy through Moses, that a person who's a foreigner and or very poor can go into the fields where the reapers have harvested the crop. They can go in behind the reapers and pick up whatever was left behind. God forbids the reapers from going through the land on a second time. He says, go through the land once and then leave it alone. Yeah, but I spilt a whole bucket of grain. Leave it. Because the welfare system of Israel was this way, that even a foreigner, if they were poor, they could come in behind the reapers and pick up what they drop. Are you with me on that? It's a very common practice. That is the setting that we find ourselves in. Ruth knows she can go do this. She must have read it in her daily devotional. Come on, you guys, there's no other way to explain it. Somehow she knew this. And she knew this somehow from either Naomi or from reading the Bible herself. And she's only been a Christian for a few days at best. This is exciting stuff. You know where I'm going with this concerning the faith that we should have. She's a new believer. You ever been around a new believer? Praise the Lord, man. Christmas Eve night, we had our service here with Marty Goetz. We saw 35 people come to Christ that night, make decisions for Jesus. Brand new believers. And you tell them, read the Bible. It'll change your life. Read the Bible. So what do you think they do? They pick up the book. They start reading the book. Their life starts changing. They get so excited to be around that they'll read something about, and Peter laid his hands on him and he was healed of leprosy. Come on, let's go. Where are we going? We got to find a leper. They'll read it and they want to go do it. I love that. Ruth reads it in the Bible. Then what does she say? She says, quote, to Naomi, let me go and glean in the fields. Number two, pray for me is what she's doing. She's imploring Naomi, pray for me that I might find favor in the sight of one of the landowners. She has no idea it's Boaz. She has nothing to know at all about Boaz. See, you and I do because we're reading the narrative. We're sneaking. Verses 1, 2, and 3. We know Boaz is coming. She doesn't know anything about Boaz. She's hungry. She's poor. She's 18 to 24 years of age, 25 years of age. The Bible tells us she's beautiful. And what blesses me about her character of soul is that even in her poverty-stricken state and the beauty that she possesses, she's not out in the fields going, ooh, hey, pulling up her robe trying to get some food that way. She's not saying, well, gosh, I've been a Christian a whole week and God hasn't provided. I'm going to go out and do my own thing. She's not saying that at all. Where do you find this beautiful young believer? She's with her mother-in-law, old mother-in-law. She's a beautiful girl. She's got depth of character. When she sets her sight on the Word of God, it says in there that she can go glean from the fields. So what does she do? You can almost see her go out to the woodshed and grab that gunny sack, that potato sack. She grabs that thing and then she walks in the house and says to Naomi, please let me go. She didn't have to ask Naomi. That was her divine right given by God's holy law that she could go. She knew what God's word says. Brand new believer. Do you know what God's word says? We're so funny. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to know what God's word says. So I have to make a decision. And I remember when I was trying to make up my mind if I should just continue with my secular job, which was wonderful, and I honestly didn't want to leave it, or this church was getting out of hand and I had to decide either give it over to somebody, which I tried to do that. How does that make you feel? I tried to give you guys away to another pastor. And God said absolutely no to that, slammed that door shut in my face, and I had to come to the grips of, do I quit my job? But God, I love my job. You gave me this job. Or do I do the church thing? And I was so torn up inside. I was so disgusted because it got down to the point where I had my agenda, which was to continue at Baxter Healthcare. I was going to retire. I had it all laid out. I had it all planned. I'm a guy. It's like that. I had life insurance when I was 18 years old. I didn't know anybody, but I had life insurance. I had to just get it all laid out. And I figured that with the investment program, the way it was doing, and all these kinds of things, I could probably retire when I'm 45, because I started there when I was 20. This is going to be great. I had it all laid out. So then Chuck Smith encouraged us to start a home Bible study since we moved from Costa Mesa to Chino Hills. Oh, brother, I don't do home fellowships. Well, you know, you might want to just try. Well, just get people to get put in one of our tapes and play our Sunday night service. I thought, well, that's kind of corny. I'm going to play a tape. And I put that off for still another year. Until finally, okay, let's start. So we started a home fellowship in Chino Hills. And it grew and it grew and it grew to the point where, and we had people in the living room, in the dining room, and we had TVs in this other room with a camera. People were sitting in this other family room watching the service on a TV. There was like 80 people in this house. It was hilarious. And I'm thinking, God, what do you want me to do? I love my job, and this is cool too. But I had an agenda, and that was to give the church to Pastor Richard Cimino, actually. So I went to Richard's office at Costa Mesa, and I said, well, you've been wanting to teach adults. Here it is. Go for it. And he said, no way. I just can't do it. I don't feel God's leading on that. You know, you're supposed to do it. I'm not supposed to do it. Don't ever say that. And went to Danny Bond, and Danny Bond said, you're supposed to do it. Don't say that. Fighting, kicking, trying to give it away. Wouldn't work. Then come to this point where no longer was my agenda. I simply said, God, I'm sick of the way I'm living. I don't know if I'm coming or going. I can hardly sleep anymore. I'm trying to do my work and trying to study. And I look like a zombie. And it's killing me. Lord, speak to me. And I went to my knees on a Wednesday morning, opened my Bible, and in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. I close my Bible. And I said, Lord, speak to me. Tell me what you want me to do. If you just say it, I'll obey you. And all I could hear in my mind was, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Then I get up. Walk in, open up my Spurgeon daily devotional, and it says what? Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. And I was so mad at God. Walked in there and I woke up my wife. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. I woke her up and I said, God spoke. That's nice. He told me to quit my job. I know that's what he's, are you sure? Are you sure you heard from him? Are you positive? All the time she was encouraging me to quit. Then when I told her God said so, he's confirmed it from the word, she like goes bananas. And it was so hard because I walk in there to give them my resignation and they refused it. They refused to accept it. I said, you don't understand something. I'm going. No, we'll talk to you about this in a year. No. 4 weeks, I'm gone. No, that's, we're not, go, get out. We're not even talking to you about it. Well, 4 weeks, I was gone. The Lord told me also, put my hands to the plow and don't look back. They've asked me to come back on numerous occasions. The Lord reminds me, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. You ever try to plow a furrow of ground? No, none of us have. Who? We don't plow here anymore. But have you tried to mow your lawn? Mow your lawn and look back and watch what happens. It goes all over the place. It's true. And I didn't know what to do. God made it clear that this is what I should be doing. But still, you have to make a decision. Look at Ruth's life. God is working in her life, and it says that Naomi had a kinsman, a relative of her husband's, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. The name Boaz means a strong and mighty one, or one who has great strength. Isn't that funny? Because in chapter 3, we're going to find out that Ruth was married to Mahlon, who died, remember, a couple Sundays ago? Well, his name meant wimpy or weak. So here she's going to meet up next week with this man called Boaz. And by the way, the Jews believe that he is somewhere 20 to 30 years older than she is. That's funny. Boaz, strong one, influential. He's got money. He's got power. He's got the world, so to speak, by its tail, but he also was known for a man of great integrity, and he loved God. And you'll find out as we go through this study that he was a man who knew the Bible. He was a neat guy, and he's single. And so, it says, so Ruth the Moabite has said to Naomi, please let me go to the field. So she knows about what the Bible says regarding this. And glean heads of grain. The word glean means to scoop up that which has been left. Now watch this. That I may find favor. That God would grant to her favor. Why? Because not all the Jewish landowners were favorable about the writings of Moses and obeying it. Oh, they might have raised their hands in church or synagogue on Saturday. Oh, praise the Lord. But when a poor person stumbled into their land, many of them drove people away. So watch this, you guys, listen to this. Beautiful Ruth, 18 to 25 years of age, says to Naomi, her old and elderly mother-in-law, let me go, let me obey the Bible, let me follow God's leading on this, and go into the field and glean, and pray that I might find favor in the sight of the landowner. She doesn't know who. Naomi says nothing to her, but what does she say at the end of verse 2? You go, girl. She says, go. You go. So you can see her. She grabs her gunny sack, and off she goes, and she's heading to the fields. In a couple of months, we're going to be there. You're going to see the fields. You're going to walk on them in this area of Bethlehem. Incredibly beautiful. Still, today, untouched for thousands and thousands of years. She grabs her bag and off she goes. And listen, look at verse 3. It says that she left. Then she left. People, this is the kind of faith that we need to have. The Bible says a stranger and a foreigner, she's a Gentile Moabite, and she's poor, she meets all the requirements, can go glean in the Hebrews' fields. So what does she do? Verse 3, she gets up. The word left means she gets up and she goes with a purpose. That's what that little word left means. Then she got up and went with a purpose, and she went. The word went means with determination. She's got a purpose, and she's determined to do what? To glean. It says to glean. To pick up the fragments that are left behind. There was no meandering down the path. She's not picking daisies and reading the Inquirer, you know, as she's walking along. She is moving with a purpose. This little cutie, and you'll see that she's a cutie because next week, Boaz, his first words are, whose girl is this? So she gets up and moves. And there's nothing going to stop her. Now she's going into the field of the reapers, you guys. All men, young men. She's young. In chapter 3, we're going to find out that Boaz reminds her that she can have any of the young guys of the city. They're all nuts about her. Can you imagine telling your 18 to 25-year-old single daughter who's beautiful, why don't you go down to the construction site and see if you can find any food for us? That's the same thing. The reapers. Go to the field down by the reapers. See what you can find. That's what the Word of God says for her to do. But many people took advantage of people who were in this condition. That's why next week Boaz is going to say, nobody touches her. Comes to her protection like a knight in shining armor. It's awesome. He commands the young men, stay away from her. I like that. She heads down there to all these guys. They got their shirts off. They're out there reaping, you know, however they do it. They're swinging these things, you know, yo-ho, you know, we're the reapers. You know, and they're all out there in the sun, and they're all just working away, and here comes this little sweetie. She left with a purpose and determination to go glean. She didn't go down there to peek to watch the boys work. She's got a heart of character. She's a wonderful woman of God, even though she's a brand new believer. Tells us a little bit something about her home life back in that pagan land. Must have been good. She must have had neat parents, or God's just done an awesome work in her life so quickly. But she went with a purpose and with determination. People who don't have a purpose, can you imagine? I can't imagine this. I'm only talking to the guys. But can you imagine somebody saying, you know, I need to go get Johnny a gift. What are you going to get him? A Tonka truck. What does that mean to us? That means Toys R Us, 10 minutes. Is there any other explanation? There's no other definition. Tommy or Johnny, Toys R Us, Tonka truck, 10 minutes, it's done. 9, 10 hours go by. Where have you been? I told you I had to get Johnny a Tonka truck today. You've been shopping this whole time? Well, yeah. Well, what else did you get? Nothing. Wait, what do you mean nothing? Well, I stopped at Nordstrom's, I looked at Macy's, I went to Robinson's, I went to... Just bouncing like a pinball machine off the aisles of the... That was the Main Street Mall there in Santa Ana. I walk up and it says, you are here. Then it says, Macy's. And I'm thinking, that's the fastest way to... Is it I go around this end or go that way? You go there, you get it, you're gone. That's because you shop with a purpose, with determination. If you don't have a purpose or determination, you know what you do? You shop. Like a bee from flower to flower to flower. That is not Ruth. Ruth gets up, grabs her bag, and off she goes because she wants food in her home for Naomi and for herself. She's got a purpose. So she takes off. And look what it says. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. You got to underline that word happen. The word in Hebrew is, and by the way, it's a sarcasm. We think the author of the book of Ruth, we don't know for sure, but we think the author is Samuel. Regardless of that, the fact is that there's a Hebrew sarcasm here. He's making fun of the situation in a good way. Watch this. He's telling us the story, how God has worked in this pagan girl's life, brought her to this point, moved her from Moab to Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. All of these things got set up. And then he says to us, if he was telling us the story, he would say, and it happened, you're right, that she stepped into Boaz's field. You see what he's saying? It's a joke. It happened. It's a slam on chance. In fact, the word is that the chance chanced. It's a great, great construction in the Hebrew. It means that those things that happen by chance are not chance at all, but the orchestrating hand of God. That's what he's saying. He's got tongue in his cheek when he's saying it. So it happened. Right. We all know. He would have said, we all know that God's in control. You see? It just happens that she winds up heading off into Boaz's fields.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the first three verses of Ruth chapter 2, it's a presentation called The Kind of Faith We Need to Have. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. If you're benefiting from Real Radio, we'd like to hear from you. That's why we've made available the means to do so. You can get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org. Once you're there, you'll know which buttons to click, realradioactive.org. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.